You're very, very welcome, Minister, and I'm delighted you're here yourself. As I know, you're very much on top of your brief, and that is evident by your presence throughout the country as well. And in County Donegal, I know you've been to a number of facilities during your time as Minister. I'm raising this issue tonight on behalf of the Special Needs Parents Network. We, as public representatives, met with them yesterday. We had a very good meeting, Minister. No doubt you would have got the information in the brief from your colleague, Minister McConlogue, who was at it, and he will have the report and the research carried out, very intensive research. One of the percentage figures presented by the HSE yesterday was that there's a 56% vacancy level, almost 60%, which is not just in the Northwest, there's a vacancy challenge throughout the country. So that is it is a national crisis, and I know in the morning you would like people to be in those positions. We do have certain challenges, but the big mission statement from the parents yesterday was, our children cannot wait. Interventions needed at a very young age, as I know you will agree. So parents have carried out the research. Parents have come up with solutions. The solutions are in the here and now. As they live their lives in the here and now, they can't accept that waiting on people to apply mantra. And we as public representatives really have to challenge the argument that not enough people are available to apply. We have to look at alternatives, and in fairness to this group of parents who live their daily lives dealing with their own children with disabilities, they've come up with solutions. They've come up with four very comprehensive solutions, and I know you will be taking this back to your officials. And what I'm asking for today, Minister, tonight in the Dáil here, is for these four recommendations to be taken very, very seriously, because it's a bottom-up ground, common sense approach, and there's some very, very pragmatic suggestions. And one of the things that was very evident yesterday was the lack of essential equipment, even communication to get wheelchairs changed, to get bigger equipment and to get measured and all that. Families of children with complex needs feel they're not receiving regular therapy, support or timely access to equipment, and there has been no indication given to parents as to how this will be managed when there are no therapists on a team. So that's point number one, Minister. The second point is in relation to redeployment. The parents came up with the proposal of redeployment of experience and skilled resources from other areas. They're not looking for a new wheel here, a recreation of a new, or a creation of a new wheel. They're looking at what we did during COVID, during a crisis, a pandemic, where redeployment was very much a major feature of that pandemic challenge which we had. The third recommendation is parents of children around the country who are paying large amounts of money for private therapy. They're calling on the HSE to implement an emergency model to support access to private therapies when support and therapy cannot be provided by the HSE. And the fourth recommendation is in relation to therapeutic support and guidance for schools. Now, I know you'll be aware of the pilot model through the Department of Education and the Department of Health. I was involved in that myself. And I know there's some resistance. I'm not going to say whether it's coming from the Department of Health, Department of Education, but I do feel there's a real opportunity even to use that pilot as a way forward, whether it's OTs, whether it's speech and language, whether it's physios, to have more of an integrated approach to health through our schools as well. I know you'll agree with that as well. So thanks, Minister, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Lasker Kerlock, and thank you, Deputy McHugh, for raising this topic this evening and giving me the opportunity to engage with you. And yes, I do look forward to taking away the four suggestions by the parents. And I think it's very important that children are fitted for their equipment in a timely fashion. It's very important that children who need to have access to those wheelchairs, actually, as they're growing, that their needs are met. If they don't, we have other issues that will follow suit. And that's why I hear what you're saying in relation to the redeployment, or even actually, if we could just introduce the NAP, it's the HSE's own policy, National Access Policy. That is where they would say, where it says it very clearly. NAP, and the fact that the team we talk about in Donegal is a HSE team, and it's a primary care team, which is HSE. Why we can't apply the NAP, the National Access Policy, where maybe some of the clinicians that are working in primary care could assist us in our crisis, in our disability teams, if nothing else, but from the level of OT at this moment in time. So the children can actually have their proper sitting equipment, be it in school or at home, or be it in their service, that they are attending. I think that would be our one ask out of that. That if Idel could work with me, Idel Quinn, who is our disability lead and a fabulous disability manager at that, but herself and her colleague in primary care, if we could achieve that, we would achieve a lot to have a starting on it. When you talk about redeployment, I have looked at Donegal a lot in relation to this. And to me, I think the panel system doesn't work for Donegal by no manner or means. I also don't think that the recruitment system within the HSE works for Donegal. It works very, very well, the HSE, for recruiting of doctors and admin, but it doesn't work for clinicians, and it doesn't work for clinicians in certain parts of the country. What I would do is I'd abolish the panel, and I would actually make it available for let people travel as to so wish, as opposed to waiting for a vacancy to come in Galway or in Dublin, that you have to wait for a space to come available. Abolish the panel system completely and make it available so people can move to their desired location as opposed to waiting for it. The other thing in relation to recruitment with the HSE is we have the internal model for when you're going for a senior post, and we have an outsourcing of it when we're going for an ordinary grade. I don't think the recruitment agency that we have within disabilities is doing us justice, not when I have 700 vacancy posts. That's the second thing, and I hear what you say about redeployment. In relation to support therapies and schools, I've given a lot of thought to this. And earlier on, we had a motion earlier on of where we've put down a counter motion. But my hope is to establish a ring-fenced support mechanism in the coming months, which supports parents who access assessments of need privately. I'm also looking at that in relation to therapies as well, Deputy. Actually to what mechanisms that I can support families access that package of be it 6 weeks of OT or 6 weeks of speech and language. But when we're not able to deliver the service, we have to look at another parallel process of delivery. 700 therapy posts not filled is the equivalent of 56 million I have unspent within my disability budget. I need to look at repurposing if I can't deliver to meet the needs of the families, and most importantly, for the child that's at the centre. And finally, in relation to schools, and I know that you know very well about the school model, but like we did remove therapists out of special schools. It ended up levelling down the system. It didn't raise it. And we talked about equity of access. At the moment, I've partnered with the HSE down in Wexford. Your good colleague Paul Keogh, mine James Brown, was there on the day, where in actual fact we are now giving funding to the school to recruit in the therapists, and they've recruited the three of them, would you believe it, in the space of 2 weeks. We have full access of therapists in the school in Wexford and meeting the needs of the young people. So I'm addressing that and looking to expand it as well, Deputy, and I've no problem working with you or Minister McConnell Logan on it.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister. And look, I really, really appreciate your honesty. And I think it's a sign of a minister who deviates from his or her script. It shows a bit of respect to the people that raised this issue. And I think it's very dignified a thing to do where you're talking from your own personal interaction with your officials. And you've obviously thought about this. And there are ways forward. So, look, just to thank the Minister for agreeing to look at these recommendations seriously and to discuss it with her officials. And I just want to join with the Minister as well in acknowledging Idel Quinn and her team who were there yesterday. They were there in force. They meant business by their presence. And I think out of respect now to all the parents who were at that meeting, it's really, really important. I want to acknowledge my own Oireachtas colleagues as well who attended that meeting. We were there to listen, number one, but look, there was a very strong message coming from the parents. They want action. They want action because their children live in the here now. But just to thank the Minister. Concluding 60 seconds, Lascom Corley, I know my two Oireachtas colleagues will be raising the issue of Letterkenny University Hospital. I don't have time to discuss it here now in the short time, but I just want to pass on my message through yourself, Minister, to Minister for Health, to look very, very seriously at the winter plan for Letterkenny University Hospital to get the patient flow right. There's senior posts there needed from registrars to phlebotomists, to OTs, to radiographers, to sonographers, to nurses and porters. So there is a very comprehensive winter plan put together by the manager of that hospital. It won't sort all the problems, but what it will address is the fact that there's very elderly, very frail, very sick people spending too many hours on chairs in a waiting room. So I would ask you to pass that on as well to the Minister. So thank you very much.
Engaging with yourself going forward in relation to Donegal and the CD&T team. I'm concerned about the CD&T team in Donegal for the simple reason it's a HSE team. And if we fail to recruit onto a HSE team, my options are very limited. So we have to make it incredibly attractive. The clinicians were incredibly helpful to me during the summer when I was down there. They're the ones that told me about the panel process. They're the ones that have told me what I need to do and what I am trying to do. And to be very fair to Bernard Gloucester, he is more than willing to step up whatever needs to be done to ensure that we have a proper functioning team, not just in Donegal, but right across my 91s. But at the moment, there is a real clear pinch point in Donegal, because when you haven't the OT assessing the child for their basic need of machinery that they require to live a full life, and we have an issue. So I appeal to the HSE again in relation to the NAP, the NACS's national policy, that they redeploy, if it's only for a week, to have some of our assessments done for children who are in crisis, for their footwear or their wheelchairs, that we get that as a priority. But I'll take that away from tonight, and I will revert to you over the coming days.